hurry up offense. Houston, Texas, where I understand there will be a football game of some note on Sunday. In the meantime, we're sitting here at NFL Live. You see all the people. A lot of Texans fans are going to be disappointed when they learn that their team did not reach that game that I mentioned a moment ago. However, we are here, and when I say we, I mean the gang. Woo-hoo. Ike Taylor, Maurice Jones-Drew still to come. A little conversation with PFT commenter. But right now, let's say hello to our two pals. Seated to my immediate left, it's Cynthia Freeland. It's Handsome Hank. You know what? Because it's a special occasion, let's not wait with our proper hellos. Let's give them right now. Starting off with your watcher on game day morning. You'll see her all over NFL Network in the run-up to the big game. Cynthia Freeland, everybody. Dance, handsome, dance.
Can they see us?
Mm-hmm. I think so, because I don't have a video yet.
Oh. If you're watching on video. If you're listening to us on iTunes, we appreciate it. If you're watching us, though, you just saw a horrific sight. And I now think that that maybe should be the video for all of time.
That's what I was going to say.
Of the event here. Hey, before we get any further here, and we're going to talk about it in just a second, we are, as always, presented by McDonald's. But I'm about to unveil a grand trio of items available at McDonald's for a limited time. Before we do that, let's say hello to our main man all the way from London, England. He remains our resident Miami Dolphins fan, even here in Houston, Texas. It's Handsome Hank, everybody. Hello, handsome. How are you?
I am very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, and I'm even better after we had our tour across these United States, our culinary tour rolled on. It's now, 4 or 5 years old now?
I think it is.
We went to a place called Bernadine's. It was a bayou kind of joint.
It was great.
It was very good.
I had 50 oysters.
Yeah, they had a bunch of oysters that I
like your style.
Thank you.
A delicious array of treats. But you know what? That's in the rearview mirror. Let's look ahead to Super Bowl 51. Again, it's a special occasion, so we're going to do two rounds of the Red Challenge Flag segment. Ooh. We're going to pick it with Ike and Maurice in a little while, but let's get to it with Handsome and Cindy. It's time for the Super Bowl edition of the Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
So let's get to it. We have a special menu here prepared by Emma VP, head writer of the Dave Damaschek
Congrats.
Football program. Yes, muzzle tub to her once again. All right, here we go. Super Bowl 51, Texas. Oh, wait a second. Yes, here we go. Super Bowl 51, Texas Barbecue Buffet. If you're Julio Jonesing for an over-the-top spread, the Lone Star Steaks Fine Dynasty Experience offers a smoked short rib cardo Allen. A little bit of a reach with rib cardo, but I like it. McCordy on the cob and spicy Arthur Frank slathered in barbecue sauce Kowski in a sticky situation with a beefy Beasley. All up in your grill, dish it out to Dion or hit Hogan in the flat iron. Either way's a win, as foiling our Belichick's recipe is one tall order.
Wow.
Well done, Emma VP. Emma. That's why she's the head writer with her puns.
That's how she got
it. You kind of have to see it, though, right?
Yeah.
To get all the wordplay going on there. Either way, all right, we're going to do it now, handsome. Like I say, we're going to be making picks throughout. You start us off.
Okay.
Atlanta Falcons. New England Patriots.
What?
Dave, I've thought about this for a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick the Atlanta Falcons to win by 32 points to 28 points.
Oh, I thought you meant not by a 32-point margin. All right, the Atlanta Falcons.
Come on, throw your stuff
at
me.
Cynthia Freeland, do you want to throw the Red Challenge flag? She does, and you know what? Damaschek will make it too. Oh, I missed. Bang, now I got you, handsome Hank. All right, let's get into it. Cynthia, synthesize it for us.
Well,
No. Wait. Oh, watch this, Cynthia. Oh. Look at this here. First, we have a little intro now for you synthesizing stuff.
Whoa!
Wow, look at that.
That kind of looks like
you. I love the visor.
All right, Freeland, lay it on us. Why are the Patriots going to win? Why is handsome wrong?
Well, I don't believe handsome's wrong. I believe maybe he's potentially flawed in his logic because I think that there's a few reasons. The first, when you stack up these offenses and defenses and you look to see where the vulnerabilities are, to me, you have to take into consideration what has happened on third down and in the red zone, that has been weak points for the Atlanta Falcons defense all season long. While they've gotten better in the past few games, in the past five games, they've improved in these areas. Looking at like their red zone touchdown percentage as one metric, the New England Patriots only allow a touchdown in the red zone 25% of the time in the past five games. And on the other side of the ball, the Falcons, 72% of the time in the regular season, that's number one worst red zone touchdown percentage. And it's gotten better, but it's only gotten like 10% better over the past few games. So that's the first one.
Long story short, handsome, eat it. I'm going to say this. My final score, Patriots 33 or, you know what, 34. I'm going to give them an extra 34
point.
To 20.
Maybe they go for two.
You think 34 to 20.
Listen,
okay.
I mean, we can break it down, and you know, people have been doing it for the last week and a half, and we'll continue doing it to the last second. But I really do legitimately feel like we're deluding ourselves into indulging this idea that the Falcons, the Atlanta Falcons, this is going to be the group that solves the Belichick Fortnite, knows how to take away the other team's best player, all that. They're going to solve the riddle of Tom Brady. I know that has no science. That's not synthesized at all. I'm just looking at the broad strokes and the last decade and a half.
I'm going science-free as well,
Dave. Come in there
I'm going science-free as well. I just think that the Falcons running game is going to – that's going to be what they emphasize in
huge.
This game.
Obviously huge. And the other thing is, can they create some inside pressure on a number 12? He doesn't like it when he gets heated up, especially with it coming down.
And they've got a lot of speed on that defense.
I got a little stat for you on that number 12 not liking when he gets heated up.
Yes.
In playoff games, when Tom Brady's been sacked three or more times, so three sacks is a lot, three or more times, they are 20, or they're 2-4, so more losses than wins. In playoff games where he's been sacked two times or less, 22-5. So the pressure makes a big difference, especially when you have someone like Vic Beasley, who's going to come off the edge, obviously led the league 15.5 sacks in the regular season. He's going to, he's got a tall task there because one matchup to watch is Cannon, so the left tackle for the New England Patriots, against Vic Beasley. Who wins that challenge? Because Cannon hasn't allowed a sack since week one, but in week one he allowed two.
Well, like I was Marcus saying Cannon. During the AFC title game, it was incongruous, the fact that the score was what it was, because the line of scrimmage in the first half, the Steelers were dominating it. That is a potential weakness there. Dwight Freeney, and of course you can refer back to, maybe it's a little too facile, but the Giants, how did they beat them both those Super Bowls? Pressure.
Right.
Why did the Seahawks give them trouble? Same reason.
Bennett, Seahawks Averill, connection. And, got a Quinn connection with the
exactly.
Seahawks, right?
And then you look back at last year's AFC title game and what the Broncos were able to do to them. It's no coincidence that's when the Patriots
I'm actually lose. Picking a close game, 28-27. That's what I have the Patriots winning by, just 1 point. And I don't think it's going to be this huge barn burner in terms of total points being out of control. I think it's going to be a lower scoring than we might imagine thinking of these two high-octane offenses, too.
Nope. Double-digit win for the Patriots. I'm sorry. It's passionless to say it, but I'm just telling you now. That's how it winds up. And on Sunday night, you'll pat me on the back for being right. All right, let's move on to item number two here. And like I say, it's presented by McDonald's, and we're talking about triplets. I've just been handed a little napkin.
Why do you need that?
Well, because I have to mop my dewy brow.
The Texas humidity is too much for Damashek.
I'm swarthy. What do you want?
I'm with you. It makes your hair crazy. Houston hair.
I know. My hair is getting... Yeah. I can tell already that it's going to be a crazy day for the hair. All right. We are presented by McDonald's and the iconic Big Mac, now available in three juicy, cheesy, saucy versions here. You can go Grand Mac. So, of course, you know the Big Mac. But then there's Grand Mac, which is even bigger than the Big Mac.
Right.
And then the Mac Junior, the Big Mac Junior, which, as you
who
might have guessed...
Who would be who on our set? I think I'd be the Mac Jr., but which one between you would be the grand or the big?
Don't hurt my feelings, please.
I'm the junior. I could probably eat the grand, though.
I'm the junior. Shaq is fat, so he's the biggest one of all. All right.
Good one, Cynthia. You got him there.
So triplets to my right here, three versions of the Big Mac. Now let's talk about Super Bowl triplets. Way back when in the early 90s, we know that Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, and Emmitt Smith established themselves as the gold standard, or I guess the silver star standard or whatever.
Right. Got it.
For triplets of all time. Now it's time to do a Super Bowl edition of the 10-foot pole. Here's my question. Are the Dallas Cowboys of the early 90s still the gold standard, or however we want to call them, of triplets in pro football history? Thank you, producer Ryan Bartlett, for that.
Woo-hoo!
If you're watching us on NFL.com/DDFP, you already can see Troy Aikman, Irvin, and Emmitt all gathered here on the whiteboard. Handsome Hank, lay it on us. Are the early 90s Cowboys still the gold standard here? Will you touch that statement with a 10-foot pole?
Well, Dave, I think, I mean, are they a triplet of the same comparison as the Grand Mac, Big Mac, and Mac Jr.? No, they're not that good. They're not that good. But are they the best NFL triplets of all time? I believe that they still are.
Agreed.
I would, however...
You touched it.
I would, however, like to make the case for... And he goes a little bit under the radar, but... The Montana, and you can add Steve Young in as well. Jerry Rice, obviously, greatest receiver of all time. But then replacing Emmitt Smith, Roger Craig, who I think probably doesn't get as much appreciation as he should do in NFL history. They were pretty good triplets.
You just took my
at the
answer,
same time.
Handsome.
I'm so sorry for
because
you,
because here's why. It's the grand sum.
Hey, well, let's check. Let's switch. Give me that.
No, it's the sum. No, because that's right. It's the 49ers
right.
is the right answer there. Because whereas I understand Roger Craig isn't in the Hall of Fame, and you can make a pretty strong case that he should be.
He should be.
Joe Montana is no worse than the second best quarterback of all time. Troy Aikman's not in the top 10 in that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry Rice is inarguably the best wide receiver of all time. And Michael Irvin is top 5 in that.
Yep.
Emmitt Smith is top. He's back end top 10 for me. So Freeland,
I'm 1,000% biased about Irv. So he's like top 2, top 1. Like, it doesn't get much
better. Listen, when the conversation of best wide receiver of the Super Bowl era comes up, I mean, after you get past Rice and Randy Moss, who really is number 3? T.O., maybe Michael Irvin then.
Irvin.
Yep.
People want to put Calvin Johnson in there. Those people would be wrong.
Because
there any other option, though?
You know what happens? You need to play in the postseason to be considered prolific like that.
Yeah. The one I wish were true is the... is Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Levy, and Bell. However, Antonio Brown did say on Thursday that he intends to be a Pittsburgh Steeler for life. So if you missed that update, good news for you Steelers fans. All right, let's move on now.
Wait, I have something I want to bring up.
Oh.
This is a personal, I'm like going to tell you personally here. Whomever it is that has decided they think that Sheck was not the originator of asking the players on media day if it was a must-win game, they need to check themselves or they'll get wrecked by me and Marianne Freeland. They better check themselves because
I love
that question. That was you, brother.
Cindy Freeland and Mama Marianne Freeland, the entire Freeland clan ready to drop the hammer at anyone.
Watch out.
Hammer will be dropped. That was your question.
Thank you,
you deserve credit for it. When anyone asked it, they need to be footnote.
Available on at least on my Twitter feed, if nowhere else. You can go watch the media night questions. We had some good fun there. We talked to Matt Ryan. He was, I did what I had to do a couple of years. Remember Joe Flacco when I doubted him? Because I'm a man and because I'm like Jerry Orbach at the end of Dirty Dancing. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. I told Joe Flacco that day in front of a sea of reporters that I was wrong. I did it again to Matt Ryan.
And this time you did actually apologize. Rather than the last time we did, if when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong, and you actually then claimed you were right.
You know, next time, though, you got to ask Matt Ryan. You know, his wife's name is Sarah Marshall.
I know.
You should have been like,
yeah.
Apparently he didn't forget her.
No, Matt Ryan, though, you know, I was classy in apologizing, and he was classy because he shook my hand and accepted my apology.
That's what a Boston College grad does.
A lot of class.
That's what a Boston College grad does.
I didn't know you were an Eagle. Is that what you are?
Undergrad, yep.
Oh, all right.
Northwestern grad school.
Who is, so in, you know, I'm sure a lot of people, as they walk around Houston, Texas, they go, hey, isn't that Cindy Freeland? She's a celebrity. And now I ask you, Cindy, who's the biggest celebrity sighting you've had so far in Houston, Texas?
Well, I got in last night, so I haven't seen many celebrities. And apart from you, which, I mean, it doesn't get much bigger than that. Mm-hmm. So far, I haven't really seen many celebrities.
Really? That's
really
a disappointing answer. Handsome, how say you?
Dave, last night in the hotel that I'm staying in, which is just across the way here, they had a Hall of Famers parade. So there was a red carpet laid down in the middle of the hotel, and every Hall of Famer that you can possibly imagine was walking down that red carpet. I happened to be meeting someone, so I was hanging out and just watching all these Hall of Famers come. So I really can't pick, or I couldn't pick, until at the table next to me was Dan Marino laughing at all the Hall of Famers having to go to this smart dinner wearing their Hall of Fame jackets while he was, you know, just having a few drinks with some friends and enjoying himself. So that'll be my number one.
Yeah. Well, it's funny you bring it up because there's a McAllister's deli right behind us as well.
Deuce McAllister's.
It may be for all I know.
He loves the deli.
Confirm nor deny that.
Best one I've seen so far, eating a pastrami sandwich, Frederick Douglass.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, bigger in person than I expected. I never would have guessed that. No, I was walking through the hotel lobby the other day, and it's filled with sports celebrities.
Yes.
That's
why they put you there.
That's right.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Yes. Anywho, listen. Yeah. They're all.
I saw him. He was going somewhere. Then he decided not to.
They were running all over the place. You know, the celebrities. But John Lynch is standing there. Mm. You know, the new general manager of the San Francisco 49ers. Who, by the way, I said to him, congratulations
on getting the world's longest GM deal.
But did you hear how he got the gig? He called up Kyle Shanahan and said, hey, guess what, fella? I'm ready to be your new GM.
I'm available.
Sure, why not?
And he said, oh, well, that's an idea. All right, you're the new GM. And I said to him, congratulations on that. But
I've heard great things about him.
Why didn't I think of that? You know, right? I would like to call Coach Tomlin.
You know, there are a few things missing. Probably maybe the several years of football playing experience.
I don't know, Cynthia. I think what you look past is that they could look at tape. If they want to review tape, they could review tape of the DDFP for the last, 5 years?
Fair.
And see, this is a guy who knows what he's talking about. In the sandwich realm.
That's an important thing. He's going to be there.
Who's going to order those sandwiches?
If you believe what they say, like those guys are there, like, you know, 7 days a week in season.
Oh,
like
they
sleep
are
there and everything like that. Who's ordering the food? That's an important decision.
Yeah.
That's where damn shit comes in.
Fair point. Everyone's happier.
So this is the first, and this is a sad tale, actually. I've crossed a certain line that I hoped I never would cross and become cynical as a doing this for a living. John Lynch said to me, this is the new GM, future Hall of Famer in all likelihood and all that sort of thing. This shouldn't sound like a humble brag because I'm ashamed of it. John Lynch said, we met at Tahoe a few years ago. Remember when we were talking about blah, blah, blah? And I said, oh, yeah, of course. But I didn't really remember that.
You big dog, John Lynch.
It's the first
to John Lynch.
He big dog, John Lynch.
Oh, yeah, that was really funny when we did that, John Lynch.
I gotta be somewhere, John Lynch.
You're like that Michigan recruit that they accidentally sent a letter being like, thanks for coming to this party, and he never went to it.
It's true. I finally have fully crossed over and fulfilled my destiny as a jerk.
That's sad,
all right,
Dave.
Let's, from Houston, Texas, start the show! Yes, hi and hello and welcome to the Super Bowl edition of the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's and the iconic Big Mac. You can get the Grand, the Big Mac, and the Big Mac Jr. And joining us now, Handsome Hank has made his way off into the masses. He's hanging with the people. You see him gathered here in the shadow of our hotel. Cynthia Freeland has stuck around for an extra minute to say hello to the two all-stars of the DDFP all through the autumn for a second straight year. Look who it is. It's Ike Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew making their noise everywhere.
What's
all
up,
over Houston? Shaq? How are you,
good
fellas?
Morning, is this the first time Shaq's been on time to his own show?
I think so. And he had to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you only say down the street.
Yeah, do you see this?
It's not like in Culver where it's like, all right, we're going to be there at 8:30. And then 8:50, Shaq rolls in just cooling.
You know, normally I'm the late one.
Yeah.
But that usually that's a, the reason I'm sweaty when we do most of our shows is because I'm running late, and so I have to sprint into the studio. This time it's because it's humid out.
Oh, it is hot. But yeah. I'm a cool cat, and so is I.
Speaking of hot, what happened last night? It sounds like you guys were hanging with some pro football celebs.
It's like a movie when you hang out with those guys.
Who?
Anytime you have an OBJ or Von Miller or Ryan Shazier.
They were there. I definitely forgot. I'm not gonna lie.
It's like
I forgot about that.
Cause we be doing our own thing. We just be vibing. Yeah, we gotta be the veteran cats just to vibe and let the young guys make the
move. What's up? How you doing? And then we just went to the other side and had our own little get together with a couple of my boys are here. If you guys want to bring them on camera, can I bring my boys on camera?
I'd love for you to bring your boys.
Come on camera. These are my boys, man. This is my homeboy Andre.
Hello, right here, Andre. I'm Dave. The crib. This is my friend Sam.
Hey, Shaq. This is my token white friend Ryan. That's my dog. It's my video game. This we play Madden together all the time. This is my guy.
Nice. And
my cousin right here, Jabari.
Of course, I know Jabari. How are you? Good to see you again.
Yeah. So this is the squad, man. This is
what happens at the Super Bowl. What happens in Super Bowl week? Everybody gets together. You see old friends. You go out. You have a good. You have some good food, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we eat dinner every night. So me and MJD, we gotta have our dinner. Gotta have our dinner date.
One day I'll get invited to one of these.
No,
days.
You have. You just be busy.
You stop it.
Let's say hello to him right now. He's number 24 for a long time in the black and gold, of course. And now he's seated right next to Cynthia. In fact, he's a gentleman. He's sharing a chair with her.
It's
Ike Taylor, everybody.
Born in Gretna, that's in New Orleans. Walked out in college, drafted to PA. Number 24 has got opinions on days. I-K-E-T-A-Y-L-O-R. Ike Taylor.
Scored on that one.
That's the one you scored on?
Yeah, no, that was
that's
that
why
Rams.
They dropped your head in.
That Rams game. Right
What's
now?
The poop, Ike? How are you? You feeling in good spirits as the big game draws ever closer?
Yeah, I'm in Houston just checking things out.
Ah, I get it. Hey, you know what Ike does? He does Dear Ikey. This is when, you know, listen, he plays the game of football. He understands it, but he also understands that there's a larger game, the game of life. And that's when Dear Ikey comes in and he answers the questions, not about football, but about life. And in fact, we have Melvin Gordon coming up in a little bit. He gave us a question for Dear Ikey. Maurice always alongside to help out with that as well. Right now, we've never had one from a woman, though.
First time.
Go ahead and ask Ike and Maurice your question. You know, whatever. Dating, gift giving, you know, etiquette, whatever.
Well, here at the Super Bowl, it's kind of like adult spring break, right? Like everyone's having fun. They're having like a great time. What happens if you meet someone in Houston? What's going to happen here? Like, do you like, is it like spring break and you're just like, oh, you know, see you later? Or is it like, keep in touch? What do you do here? Do you find true love here at Super Bowl no?
It's the vibe. So I look at it how we first met. How do I look at this person? You can look at a person one way and things might just transform into something totally different. On the first date, man, I just like, if we're in Houston, I like to go local. So we know Houston is known for the Southern food, the barbecue, whatever. So hopefully you eat what I eat and we can start off with a dinner date, going local, checking out some local barbecue spots, some soul food
spots.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. You're the expert here, Ike, but you're suggesting a first date over barbecue? That seems like...
that's perfect, man. We're in Houston. So obviously we both visiting.
Cynthia, you would not... You wouldn't like going to barbecue on a first date.
That is untrue. I love eating, so any sort of food, we're good.
You can't put words in her mouth, shit.
You're right.
Wow, that's
right.
Amazing.
She was because it's filled with barbecue, apparently. Yo. Maurice, how say you?
You know, first I was thinking what happens in Super Bowl stays in Super Bowl. That was my first thought because, again,
like
I go
mentality?
To Vegas, right?
Okay.
But it's not like that. People are coming here to see a game. It's not like you're coming to party. Yes, parties happen, but you're having a work environment. And if you guys connect, if you feel that energy...
See,
right? That's what it's all about. If you feel a good energy, then you try to.
I feel like at least
going.
You know you have shared interests, right? Like
you try to cultivate
really love
that
football.
Exactly.
You really like food. I think it's it could be fun.
That's try my to dog Xavier right there, Xavier Rhodes.
Yeah. I loved it. I met Xavier the other day, and he was positively delightful.
That's
positively
a big corner.
Delightful.
That's a big corner.
I like him a great deal. I really do. Yeah. I like his swagger.
I said
you know?
A lot of nice things about him on game day morning. I'm pretty sure he saw them before the game.
All right. Look, Xavier Rhodes walking. Good to see you again, pal. We met yesterday.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hi, nice to meet you.
Xavier Rhodes. I don't know what to do. You know what? I'll lean over. I'll be a gentleman.
I can.
No, you four just talk.
Go ahead.
What are we talking about? Football. We're talking football. So, yeah. Zay, you had an unbelievable.
Oh, yes. Man.
Right?
Yes.
You had a. Can you get that for me, Jonesy? Had an unbelievable year. Went to the Pro Bowl. So basically, you went back home because you started off with Coach Tom Shaw.
Yes, I did.
Go back to the Pro Bowl.
Yes, I did.
In Orlando with Coach Tom Shaw. Tell me about your season, man. Like, what transformed you from last year to this year and just becoming a professional and knowing playing that cornerback position, man? You got to do it week in and week out.
Actually, man, it started off in all season, man. I mean, gaining that mentality as just having an all season as an end season, an end season as an all season, you know, because in all season, you got to put in the time and the effort to work on the little things you need to work on from the previous season before. And that was my whole mindset, was to do that. In the East end season, you ain't really doing much. It's, you know, getting prepared for the game. You know, so that's the whole thing. That was the whole thinking process. That would change my whole season. That would change my whole mentality and how to see my season went from this year. And also my eating habits, my sleeping habits, and everything. I just changed my whole regimen, and it just went from there.
That's what I did, too.
I was going to say, we talked to Terrence Newman on a DDFP show early in the year. And he said, you know, you guys kind of bonded throughout this season.
Yes.
And, I mean, he said you took leaps and jumps. How was that for you?
Oh, man. It was, first of all, Terrence Newman is for a guy to be doing, what, 14 years?
Yeah, that's a long time. We came in together.
Yeah. Oh.
We came in 03. We came in the 03 draft together.
Bro, you showing your age right now.
Yeah.
You don't look it.
Don't look it at all.
Man, but Terrence Newman is right, man. You know, being on the defense with guys is not selfish. We come together as a team, as a defense, and we do a lot of things together. You know, we bowl together, eat together, talk together, group chat, everything is
together.
You know what I'm saying? We know each other's weakness. We know each other's strength. I mean, I can tell you one thing. It could be a certain coverage or a certain down the distance. Terrence Newman would literally be on the other side of me yelling at me, like, Zay, back up. I'm like, bro, like, don't you think you need to worry about the man in front of you right now? But he knows, like, in certain things, he know what I might end up doing. And for that, that's just coming from being around each other, talking, you know, right, gaining that bond, that chemistry.
That's that instinct. When we played in Pittsburgh, we kind of had that instinct. We did everything together. It's just eye contact. Like, when you're around a person for so long, you don't even have to talk anymore. So me and Troy, we just looked at each other. He knew what I was thinking. I knew what I was thinking.
Exactly.
Same way with you and Terrence Newman, man. That's a good bond.
That's a great bond. You know what I'm saying? And like I say, man, just it was awesome playing with those guys. Not only with Terrence, you know, me and Harrison and Sadeo, we all click. We all bond. Like, no matter what, I look back. In certain plays, you'll probably see me on the field and Harrison will be calling me. And I look back, he'll be like, this is the call, Zay. I know you didn't get the call. So, I mean, it's just that bond, that chemistry we had on that field. And it was just unbelievable. And it showed. And it showed that whole entire season. Our defense played as one heartbeat. And it was a good thing to see.
Nice.
How'd it go? Let me grab this real quick. How'd it go? What was the take on, first of all, the bad news, hopefully not, it doesn't prove to be true, but it's looking like Teddy B's not going to make it for 2017. First of all, that's got to be a bummer. But also talk about Sam Bradford a little bit and your confidence in him going into 2017.
Which one you want me to start with? The Sam one?
Talk about Teddy B. That's a real bummer to hear that news.
Man, I mean, I don't know. I don't know much about his injury. I was there for the injury when it happened. But for what I know, I know as much as you know, you know. I mean, as you know, and I, as you know, like, they're not going to tell a player as much.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're going to keep it a secret because they don't want it to get out to the media. So I don't know much about that. You know, I'm new as that, and I ain't been there lately. And in Minnesota, I'm going back. And all I can tell you is Teddy is happy. Man, the man always...
Good. Always
have a
good
smile,
spirit.
Good spirit.
You can tell.
Great spirit, you know, always happy, finding new things to do to get his mind off, you know, the injury. And then I love that about him. That what brought us together, actually, as a team. When that happened, we was down, and Teddy come to the facility every day telling us not to worry about him. He's going to be all right, you know, and he's smiling, laughing, you know, like, wow, Teddy, like, how can you go through something like that and still be smiling and laughing and joking around, being himself? And he's like, bro, it's just football, and it happens. You know, and I'll be all right, and I'll come back stronger than ever. So I was like, wow, that's a good, great attitude.
What about Sam?
Oh, Sam. actually, he's a quiet guy. He don't really say much in the locker room. You know, he'll walk with us up, Sam. Hey, like
he's just trying. He's trying not to ruffle no feathers. Yeah. Man. You get a new locker room, you gotta be cool. No question.
I heard that's how Sam is. Period. Like that's just Sam. He's just really quiet. But also, you know, he came in this year, man. Took control of the whole offense. You know, and he became the captain. You know, learned the offense really well, really fast, and did really good this season.
Regardless on age, and they talk about one of the main guys on y'all team. How y'all feel about AP?
Man, that's Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer. I mean, that man's name still moves. Each team still game playing him.
Right.
He came off a knee injury. We played again. I don't remember who we played against. This man fresh off a knee and with a knee brace on. They still game planning him.
Right.
That's AD.
So that's the respect you get.
That's respect.
What about this, though? You know, I brought this up when I was talking to Xavier yesterday. I say it again now. Why not go like Ty Montgomery, number 88, when 28 went down, you didn't go to the coaches and go like, how about 29? 29 used to carry the ball around in high school. Maurice doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. He doesn't like when guys go in there and make it look easy.
First of all, Sheck says he was a wide receiver, but he went to Stanford as a running back. If you played running back in high school and in college for a little bit, then you could tote the rock in the league.
All right, I'm going to be a running back.
Sheck, last question. You and Odell Beckham, man. How was that, man? Look, let me tell you something. That was exciting to watch because there was two dogs going at it.
Yeah.
That's what it was to me. I didn't see it as anything else. I saw you competing, him competing, but it was a great match. We were breaking it down multiple times. Yeah. I mean, you were all over him. It was crazy. How was that?
It was actually, like you say, it was two guys competing with each other that love the game, have passion for the game. And actually, you know, I didn't feel like it was much, no beef or anything. It was just us trying to win.
Right.
Trying to get the best of each other. You know, you get one, I get one. You know what I'm saying? Who going to come out on top? That was the whole ordeal. And after the game, we spoke. You know what I'm saying? It was after the
all
game.
Love.
Made true. Yeah, all love. Exactly what it was.
That's good.
Last question for Xavier. I want you to ask a question. We're in the midst of playing Dear Ikey. We're not talking about the game of football. Maurice and Ike are answering questions about the game of life. Do you have any dating questions? You know, gift giving ideas. I mean, he's like these guys are fountains of information.
Oh, okay. I have a gift giving. What you a best gift to give a woman?
On what's the situation? Is it a long term relationship? Is it
just
have y'all
period.
Just y'all just dating?
Dating basically.
Dating.
Oh, that's man. Nice. That's a good one.
Honestly,
that's a good one.
Honestly, you're a killer with this one. Write a note.
Oh, I was about to say.
I'm just about to say that.
write it, handwritten. Don't type it up.
Yeah. Handwritten.
No text.
Write it.
No text.
Uh-huh.
No
write
text.
It. You write a note. You put that thing in the envelope.
Hey, you do like dinner. Do the little kid stuff where you cut the heart out.
No,
that works.
Okay,
man,
wait,
the heart and you write the note.
Okay, there you go.
I feel like you should if you've taken her to a movie or you've like done something together. I think with your handwritten note, just include the movie stuff. You don't have to cut anything, but you know, just be like, this was so much fun. Let's go see another movie.
Yeah.
Simple, easy, no text.
What about this? I was told by this sounds about a wise guy, Terrence Newman. He said, get a dozen roses.
Oh, yeah. He tried to
get
you
a dozen
all
roses,
there.
All red. Get one white and put it in the middle and say, hey, I'm giving you this. This you in the middle. You stand out above them all.
Don't do that.
Peonies. Go with peonies. They're way better.
Hey, that note, man, a handwritten note means you show time and effort and put thought into it. So
yeah, I know.
Go with a little short and tell T New stop it.
He tried to take it all the way there.
No question.
Horrible advice.
All right. Let me just say goodbye to Xavier Rhodes. Thanks for stopping by,
thanks,
pal. Oh, we're going
to
jump into the full edition. Hey, by the way, while you guys are hugging each other, let's say Odell Beckham. It's the Super Bowl, and Odell Beckham's on the other side. Who would do a better job of blanking in him one-on-one all game, Xavier Rhodes or Ike Taylor?
Xavier Rhodes. I'm off the lead, Shaq.
I'm not talking about 2017, Ike. I'm talking about in his prime 24.
In my prime, I was a dog in my prime.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Definitely was.
But Zay just came from the Pro Bowl.
I know. We were also talking about yesterday. It's a little weird. It's funny because they're right behind us if the camera sees it. A number 29 Eric Dickerson jersey. Outside of Dickerson, though, 29's open. You know, that's a weird number to wear, right?
It's not open anymore.
Yeah, no.
Well, now, Xavier, big corner, too. That's a big corner.
Yeah.
He's a, yeah, you're like more like a linebacker.
Florida State, man, that's all y'all got, them 6'2", 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, man, I heard they had a great class yesterday.
Yeah, they did. They did.
Good class.
They did.
They putting them out, man.
Oh, man.
Y'all doing y'all thing.
All right, Zay, man.
Xavier Rhodes, what a pleasure.
What doing.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by. Good to see you, pal.
Pleasure, baby.
All right, you know what? Let's keep rolling with the Dear Ikeys. Now that we're into the spirit of it, you guys are all warmed up. Let's go with Melvin Gordon of course, the Los Angeles Chargers, California Chargers, whatever their name is right now. He has a question for us. Here it is. Melvin Gordon with a question for Dear Ikey.
Dear Ikey, my shoe plug told me that he can't give me no black Yeezys in a size 10 Yeezy 750s. What can you do for me?
I couldn't hear what the question was.
He wants some Yeezys in the size 10 750s. Can you? He said he want to know if you can make that happen.
Oh man, you know I really don't do the shoes.
That's what I was gonna say. This is a love segment.
I really don't do the. And we know.
Let's rate the shoes right now because Cynthia is very proud of her shoes.
Ooh, you got to show the bottom so they know what it is.
She's fancy. The red bottoms.
The camera's getting down there.
It's a Super Bowl.
And she only wear them on carpet.
I think right. my Pumas are pretty
carpet.
Cool.
I only wear them on carpet.
That's cool.
I know.
So what
I
do you do
when good.
You what do you have some
she
other
got
shoes?
Flip-flops.
Okay. Yeah, I want the traditional Air Maxes.
But Gordon, for real, I don't have the hookup on the Yeezys. I'm not really a shoe guy, even though I got Versace on my feet. But I'm not really a shoe guy, but it's all good. That don't even make no sense. I got Versace, you asking for the Yeezys. I just don't have the Yeezy Connect. So
we got to work on that.
We got to work on it, right?
That's all we're going to work on.
Next time, Gordon.
Next up, let's hear from just a guy on the street, right? Here's another question, Dear Ikey.
Dear Ikey, I've got a party on Thursday night. There's a big test on Friday morning. What should I do? Should I go to the party or should I stay home and study?
He said he got what on Friday?
He's got a test.
Oh, man.
Test on Friday, party on Friday.
Listen,
he should have known better.
I have a lot of degrees. I can answer this question.
Well, take it off for me.
You get up super early, like at 5 a.m. You study in the morning, and you get all your studying done, and then that means you can party even harder at night because you're like, I studied. We're good.
I'll tell you one time, I don't tell everybody to do this, but in college one time, I decided, I was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to try this out. So I studied for like 2 hours, and then I went and got trashed. And then I woke up and took the test the next day because in my thinking is when you drink so much, you black out. All the thing you remember is what you did right before, right?
That makes sense.
I got an A on that test. But don't do it all the time, folks.
Is that true?
I promise you. I probably can't make it up. All my
all
boys.
Right. Well, that's powerful advice you've just given
that
out
was,
there.
But it only happened once. I never tried it again. It was too dangerous.
It depends on the person, man. Some people can burn both candles.
Was it morally wrong when I did this in college, Maurice? This is much worse. I wasn't ready for a test. Well, no, actually, well, for
what, was it Pitt, was this Pitt University?
First
or
of
Indiana?
All, Indiana University.
Because he went to two colleges.
Yeah, he went to two.
This really happened one day. I looked outside. I was like, it's raining out. I'm not going to class. The next time when I did
That's
finally
how you
get
felt because of the rain.
Next time I got around to going to class a week or so later, I only went to about 40% of all my classes when I was in school. But anyway, the next time I did make it into the classroom, the guy next to me said, hey, where were you last week for the test? And I said, ha ha. Yeah. And he said, no, you missed the midterm, man. And I was like, what? Oh, I guess that's what I have to pay for not showing up to class. And so then I had to scramble for an excuse. So I went and I told the professor, I said, I'm sorry, my grandfather's ill.
No, you do.
I think I see the stink eye you're giving
wow.
me.
Wow. You can't wish that evil on nobody.
And I'm not wishing it on anybody because it was in fact true. How do you, everybody's been sick. So he was sick at some point in his life, right?
Shaq.
I'm playing fast and
adult.
Shaq.
You're wrong. That's dead wrong.
Dead wrong. You can't
dead
do
wrong.
That.
That's
Shaq.
Like bad. Like you can't put
That's
that out
bad
there.
Bad juju.
You can't put that out there.
You know when
that
once it goes from your mouth, man, I think it go anywhere.
Anywhere, and it went somewhere.
I didn't come here to be attacked.
Well, you
by
put
any
that on yourself.
I know. Well, listen, what happened happened, and
obviously you don't care.
What'd you end up getting on the midterm?
Well, postscript. Both of my grandfathers are gone now, so I guess you were right.
I mean, that was kind of a long time ago, though.
Shaq, you gotta stop.
We've taken a dark turn here.
That's you, Shaq.
You took a dark turn. We didn't take nothing.
On that note.
Hey, number 24, you know what? A couple of weeks ago, I got a lot of national attention off of when we were kibitzing here on the DDFP because you weighed in on Antonio Brown, and there's no bigger fan of Antonio Brown in the NFL, nay, in all the world, than Ike Taylor. You've sung his praises. You led the charge when the rest of the world wasn't hip to how good he was. You came on DDFP. You were still a player, and you said, you watch out. This is the best one-on-one wide receiver in the NFL. I laughed at you at the time, and that began our love affair was when we had that conversation, Ike. And so you have the bona fide. You stand by 84, and yet you said, I don't know about some of the stuff, and the Steelers organization knows how to draft wide receivers. Anyway, you just saw him before we got going here. Let's take a quick look back at that little exchange you had right
Man,
behind
y'all
us.
Man, y'all quick with
They're
that.
Quick with it.
Y'all quick.
You know, that was Mark Brady with that one. He's so quick.
Yeah.
So, all right, there it is, Ike. What did you say to AB?
Oh, me and MJD just shooting the breeze with him, you know, asking what he up to. I think he had a few events he had to do this morning. Business is booming. So,
well, he says he intends to be a Pittsburgh Steeler for life. Do you expect that
Rooney
will be?
And Paul said the same thing.
Yep.
Mr. Rooney said the same thing. Like, he wants AB to be a Steeler for life. You know, AB just, he know what he got to do. He just got to grow up sometimes on them antics he's doing. He's the leader of that locker room. So, as far as, like, being a workout warrior, having a tremendous work ethic, there's nobody greater than AB. Like, his workout ethic is unbelievable. Now, AB, you got to understand getting into your prime. A lot of young guys, even veteran guys, going to start looking up to you, being a leader in the locker room. So that's what AB got to understand.
It does feel like if you give in to being a prisoner of the moment as the organization or the player, things can blow up. If you let a little bit of time go by, you know, now it's been a week and a half, it does feel like it's settled down a little bit. You know, I think no one in the organization wants to see 84 leave the team. They're not going to be better for it.
I mean, Paul nipped it in the bud. When Paul Rooney said,
I agree.
You know.
He said it was like it's a little nuisance or something.
Yeah, like, AB is my guy. Like, I want AB to be here. All right, we can stop talking about it.
Exactly. However, in January of 2017, the Steelers came up 60 minutes shy of getting to Super Bowl 51. The Falcons and the Patriots did get here. That brings us to the Super Bowl edition of Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Uh-oh. Here we go. Red
Challenge Flag Picks. Challenge Flag Picks.
Wait. That wasn't good enough for the Super Bowl. We got to try that again. Our timing
didn't
was
say
off.
Anything.
I know. I wasn't ready to sing. Listen, let's do
you have
it
a
again.
Beautiful
here
voice,
we go.
Though.
I was thinking, I was regretting my. Oh, here we go.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Yeah. I was regretting there the first time I was thinking about, was that morally wrong? Is everybody out here right that I shouldn't have said that to my professor in college?
I think you're okay. It's okay
wrong.
To be wrong.
You keep saying dead wrong, and I've already said that both of my grandfathers.
Because you put that juju on.
You put that juju. That's that bad juju.
Speaking of juju, I already
never
gave
mind
away
the fact that they both
book.
Be about like 120 by now.
Here you go.
Right. That's what I was saying.
You want
right,
to do it again?
Right. All right. Again. Let's get to it. I'm going to start with you, Maurice.
See.
Atlanta Falcons. Yeah. New England Patriots. Choose.
I love when he does the choose. You know, let me first start talking about just the game in general. Kyle Shanahan's a good friend of mine. He actually taught me the West Coast offense in college. Crazy as that sounds. He was a GA at UCLA. Have a long history.
Wow, really?
He's done a great job. One of my good friends. We talked a couple times this week. They have a lot of weapons. Offense, they can score with the best. And with that, all that being said, I'm picking the Patriots.
Right. We already have learned that Cynthia Freeland is taking the New England Patriots. So
am
I.
Can't pick against the GOAT.
Handsome Hank took the Falcons. Ike Taylor, do you wish to throw the red challenge flag? And I guess that means, oh, no, he took the Patriots. You're taking the Patriots.
I'm taking the Patriots, man.
Wow. All right. Yeah, well, give us your analysis as to why. I already shared mine.
Seven times, meaning being to this situation, the New England Patriots being in this situation seven times. Tom Brady, hopefully he'll get five Super Bowl rings. It's just crunch time and pressure. So I look at the crunch time. I look at the pressure. Who do I want? And no disrespect to Matty Ice.
None taken.
In crunch time, I need the GOAT. I need Tom Brady. By the way, Matty Ice, you do have Julio Jones. You do have Sanu Sr. You do have Freeman. You do have Coleman. So you have weapons. Let's exchange weapons. So I'm going to give you my weapons, and let me take your weapons. So basically what I'm saying is I do a lot with little. Mm-hmm. And that's Tom Brady. And he's been doing that his whole career. Because we saw what he did when he had Randy Moss. He put up 50 touchdowns.
It's the number one scoring defense. Are the Falcons really going to go in there and shoot it out with the Patriots?
I think it's going to be a shootout. But I say this, Shaq, whoever has the ball last, and Matt Ryan hasn't been in that situation this year to have the ball last and have to have that game-winning drive. They had the chance against Seattle early in the year. Really, other than that, they've been blowing people out. It hasn't been close. I
think that's always bad too, right? Yeah. If you haven't been in a tight one for a while, I suspect it gets you jittery.
Hey, let's
when the
not
game
forget,
is tight in the fourth quarter.
We fumble, and we in Green Bay terms, we fumble going into the red zone.
We missed a field goal.
We missed a field goal, and we had a lot of drops.
Patriots will not do that unless it's on special teams or something fluky like that. They're not. You can't expect 12 to be turned.
Miss Cynthia looking
over
like she wants to say
I
something.
I do.
Go ahead.
So something kind of cool that I was looking at is Mohamed Sanu Sr. actually has an 85% reception percentage since week 8. That's ridiculous. Nobody catches that many balls. The other thing I actually wanted to ask you about. I'm glad you're here. Do you know that the Pats? So most teams who are the leading tacklers, it's maybe linebacker, safety,
right,
or like depending on, you know, safety, linebacker.
D-tackle.
So the Patriots, all three are defensive backs.
DBs.
People throw the ball, try to attack them. That's why.
And which makes a lot of sense, right? So to me, you're going to have the, you're going to need Taylor Gabriel involved. You're going to need Mohamed Sanu involved. And obviously Julio Jones involved. What do you even do? It's an interesting situation to find yourself in.
Well, I from just my standpoint of how the Patriots are going to try to defend Atlanta, they're going to go back to their 3-4, similar to what we talked about against Pittsburgh, how they just stand there and try to create a wall to stop the running game. But then I think Eric Rowe, you're going to see play a huge part in this game because he's a taller, longer guy, and he has a better chance of covering Mohamed Sanu over Logan. Now, Logan's going to be in the slot to try to cover Gabriel, and then you're going to put Malcolm Butler and then McCourty over the top on Julio. And we're going to let this thing rock.
McCourty's, like, sneaky because he's the third leading tackler on the team, and he's legitimately, like, like, people undervalue that. Like, I guess, you know, you think Dante Hightower, maybe?
If you look back at Super Bowl 49, and it's a different situation, it's a different Patriots team and all that. But still, if you think about the old thing with Belichick, he takes away whatever the other team does best.
But don't most coaches try to do that? Like, isn't that like a...
But they don't do it as effectively consistently as Belichick does. But if you think back about 49, who were the guys who were making hay in that one? Chris Matthews? I mean, so now you're kind of... It just feels uninspired, and I would be hard to be optimistic as a Falcons fan. Like, yeah, this one all hangs on Taylor Gabriel's ability to make hay.
No, this is what you got to look at with the New England Patriots. And it's all about the trenches. And I go back to the situation on you build a house from the ground up, you don't start from the roof down. They're doing the same thing. So when they was in their heyday, when we heard about the Ashanti Samuels, when you heard about the Ty Laws, the Rodney Harrisons, this is why you heard about these guys. It was Ty Warren. It was Richard Seymour.
Yes.
It was Vince Wilfork. So you got a bunch of first-rounders on that D-line. So first of all, you can't run on them. Passing-wise, so now you get into your defensive end situations. Since you have a strong core between those three guys, then your defensive ends, your Willie McGinnis, those guys can play the passing percentages a little bit more. They can get to the quarterback a little bit more. It's the same situation. So what they do this year? They go out and get a young guy from Texas, Malcolm Brown, and he's been balling. So they're getting back to their old recipe on winning Super Bowls. We just have been paying attention.
It's all right. Yeah, the people just don't talk about this. Well, it's because it's weird because their yards against is pedestrian. I think they're either like 9th or 10th. But scoring defense, that's why they just force you to it's funny. I think the way this season ends for the Patriots is the way it started. If you remember way back to the first Sunday night game of the season against the Cardinals, we figured, oh, the Cardinals are just going to are going to go upstairs on them all. Nope, we're just going to keep it in front of us all day. You're going to have to go 11 yards at a clip if you want to beat us. I think that's exactly the way this one's going to go.
It's hard. I mean, other than Coach Kyle Shanahan, I mean, he's going to get the head coaching job from San Fran, but – me and MJD keep saying the same thing, and I get it from Coach LeBeau. Coach LeBeau was like, offensive coordinators always want the big play. Why they want the big plays? It looks good on their resume. So when you have a 4,000-yard quarterback, when you have two running backs close to 1,000 yards, when you have a 1,000-yard receiver, it looks good on your resume. when you make them go the long way, so when they got to sustain 10, 15, 11 play drives, it's hard because they're not used to that.
That's why they got
it. The Patriots make offenses do that well.
And do you think that Freeman and Coleman can combine to make some hay on the ground? Because that's critical.
Well, we were talking about it yesterday, and it's about the others. Now, Julio is the guy. Mm. The others have to step in. So Freeman, Coleman, those guys have to break tackles, break arm tackles, and really get these explosive runs. It's not going to be about the explosive passing game 20 yards down the field, but it's going to be 12-yard chunks. That's an explosive run. If you can do that and move the chains, I think that'll be fine. But again, you know, I'm really focusing on the tight ends because those linebackers for the Patriots struggle in coverage. That's where they're weak. That's where you have to attack them.
All right, real quick, I wanted to show you something. I caught up with Barstool Sports PFT commenter, the world famous one from the world famous Pardon My Take podcast. I caught up with him. Here it is, the full and exclusive interview, or at least the parts that we can actually get away with showing you here on NFL Media. Go.
All right, here he is, one half of the most elite podcast in all the land. It's TFT Commenter. What's the poop, fella? How are you?
All right, well, listen.
As elite as it gets, like I say, the best sports podcast. Nate, the finest podcast, period.
Pardon my take. Best of sports. Pardon my take.
Well, that was that. So there we go. And Ike, last question. So it's Thursday midday here. What are you doing if you're a Super Bowl team? Where are you on Thursday as you get ready here?
Oh, man, it's the same thing during the season. Just getting ready. But I know for that Detroit, for that Tampa, for that Dallas Super Bowls, the three Super Bowls I've been in, you talking about focus? You talking about everybody just feeling like they in the Matrix?
Gotta be.
Like, you can hear a pin drop in practice. But on the defensive side, and Coach LeBeau used to say this all the time, man, it's music to my ears. So, Dickie, what's music to your ears? Everybody's talking on defense. The linebacker's talking to the D-line. The secondary, everybody. It's a whole lot of chatter. It's like animals in the jungle. And that's how we was on defense during that whole week of practice because you don't want to be that guy to give up that play. I almost was that guy. But Santonio Holmes saves me for that Tampa Super Bowl. But, man, you just totally focused because it's only one game. Like, that's why the NFL is so good because we don't have a seven-game series. It's one shot, one game. You have to perform, and you don't want to be that guy.
Speaking of one shot, imagine if for the rest of the time Ike had to every time he watched a football game and you would see Larry Fitzgerald running for the touchdown.
Made me sick.
When he's looking at himself up on the big screen and you and Troy are running behind
made
him.
Made me sick.
Now we don't have to worry about that. Now.
Made me sick. Yeah. But I'm so glad Santonio Holmes, because that next drive, Santonio, that's when he made his mark.
He made everything
of that game.
So. But he got like three or four passes on that drive.
I so appreciate glad. Him too. He gave me my sixth ring.
He didn't give you anything. No, as a fan,
I became as a sixth.
You went to
Super Bowl
you went
champion.
To two colleges. You got six rings. I mean, your career is amazing.
It's really well. Listen, right. I'm proud of it.
How many Stanley Cups too?
Well, I now have four Stanley Cups.
How many do the Red Wings have?
I'm not worried about what your deeds are. This is the Damashek show, sister. We're talking about my six Lombardi trophies and so on. Ike has two, and you and Maurice have what you have.
Shaq, if that's the case, Shaq, I was a Raiders fan. So, you know, back in the 70s, we were winning everything. So
you weren't alive when they won. Those don't count. You don't get them if you weren't alive for them.
Like, what do you mean? I was a fan.
Where's your dignity, Maurice? I was alive when the Steelers.
How about the Rams?
That's your team. All right, listen. A great and grand show here from Houston, Texas. Thanks to everybody back in Los Angeles for all the work on it. And to Bartlett here with us. What do we call this? NFL Live is where we're sitting here?
No, in
the shadow of our hotel.
We're awesome.
Just checking around.
Xavier Rhodes, terrific. Handsome Hank, terrific. We thank them, PFT commenter as well. And as always, the great Maurice Jones-Drew. Ike Taylor. Cindy Freeland.
Cindy.
Because
that's what her mom calls.
Your mom tweeted me too.
Oh, and Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, we got to go do a second hour now. Maybe we'll get into that when we're back in Los Angeles. Yes. Enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody. We'll talk to you from Los Angeles. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans.
It's been a thin slice of heaven.
Look at that. See, six-time Super Bowl champion.
Oh, okay.